Our next guest, sportscaster, radio host, podcast host, actor, author. I mean, he does it all and is celebrating a birthday today. Gary Tangway with us. Happy birthday, Gary.
Richie, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Even though, you know, we don't count them, right?
No. But at least as long as we're still on the top of the
don't
earth.
Don't say on the other side. Don't say, what is it, above ground.
Yeah.
You know, all the old isms.
Right.
I mean.
But I will always be older than you, Gary, so you should feel younger when you talk with me.
Yeah, but not more mature.
Well, you know what? It's a race to the bottom there.
It is. That's the one thing I'll always appreciate about Rich Kimball. Is down deep, he has never grown up.
There's a reason I like working with 14 and 15-year-olds in school, because that's about my maturity level.
Yeah, that's right. High school is a perfect place for you, Rich.
Thank you. Thank you very much. By the way, congratulations, too, on joining the first class of our Downtown Hall of Fame. It is an august group made more so by your presence.
Well, I don't know. The fix must have been in. I'm in some very good company, I can tell you that.
Well, yeah. I mean, Chad Finn, that's pretty good, and Bob Ryan.
Oh, I know. I mean, in Finn, man, I love to give Finn a hard time. He and I used to go at it about Rondo. Where's Rondo now, Finn? Huh? Where is he now?
So I'll ask you the question I asked Bob Ryan. You know, we got a little swag for our Hall of Fame inductees. Will you wear a downtown temporary tattoo?
Oh, sure. I mean, I have two real tattoos.
Oh, well, if you get the real one, you're like...
Well, no, let's not get crazy.
All
I
right.
Have the, I got one with my son, the palmetto tree from South Carolina, and the moon and the palmetto tree. My son and I got that together. A little bonding experiment.
That's nice.
And then my wife, we got our anniversary on the other arm. I think that was kind of like, you know, the rancher putting the, you know, putting the what do they call it, in the cow there.
The brand?
Whatever it is. Brand. Burning in the brand.
Yeah. Is that so you don't stray off the ranch too far?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, you have to have offers to stray, though, so I don't think it was ever an issue.
Right, so if both arms are taken with tattoos, where does the... I don't want to know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's all right. We can just save that.
We asked Bob Ryan. I didn't mention temporary. I said, Bob, would you get a downtown tattoo? And he didn't hesitate. He's like, well, if it's temporary... All right.
Oh, there you go. Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't. Who do you think is least likely from these other entrants to get a downtown tattoo? Let's see. Paula Poundstone, Stephen Tobolowsky, Bryan Cranston, Roseanne Cash, Curtis Armstrong, Perry Gilpin, Mike Farrell, John Davidson, Ken Burns. I think I know who.
I think it's Burns.
I do, too. Yeah.
I think Burns. By the way, you have an amazing roster, Rich, to be serious. You really do. You get some amazing people. I mean, the fact that Cranston goes on your show, I mean, these are all big names. All big names. And Tobolowsky's hilarious. I mean, just the best.
Well, you know, what we love is that, you know, they're all sort of, I mean, Cranston hasn't been on in a couple of years. He's been pretty busy, but they're all regulars. Like, Burns comes on every time he's got a new film out, and, you know, the rest of them come on a pretty regular basis, and we're pretty proud of that.
Well, it's a tribute to the host. That's the way I look at it. It's a tribute to the host.
Well, we got stuff coming. I got to get your mailing address later so I can send you some swag here. Hey, I understand the show went well. Can you tell us a little bit about Hunting Whitey?
Well, you and I are both students of the theater and about the crafts of acting. But this was a great experience to work with a professional actor, and there's a lot of great talent in Boston. There's a lot of great talent in Bangor. You have seen it. I've seen it. There are people who, during the day, go out and do other jobs, and then, boy, they get on the stage, and they're like, wow, they're really talented. But for whatever reason, they choose to live where they live and didn't make the trip to Hollywood. But when you get a chance to work with Neil McDonough, and I didn't even talk to him. I did not bother the guy. I just simply watched. And I started stalking him, really, because we did Zoom rehearsals starting about 3 months ago, and I wondered how he was going to play Whitey. And this story is based on the book by Casey Sherman and Dave Wedge, which takes Whitey from the moment he goes on the lam until his death in that prison in the Carolinas. I think the Carolinas or Virginia, West Virginia, I think. So I said, how's he going to do this? Because when you play a New England character, you got to walk a fine line. And you, like me, are so sick and tired of seeing people portrayed in New England, you know, like they came on, they got them off a Pepperidge Farm commercial, you know, where you're like, wow, man, that's, I don't know a lot of people that talk exactly like that, you know, and he is from New England. I mean,
right.
He went to high school with Casey, knows a lot of people. He's a Boston. So he understands that. But I was like, how's he going to do this? Because the Whitey character could be so much of a caricature. You know what I mean?
Right.
It wouldn't take much. And he started very slow and very methodical. And then he just grew and he grew and he grew in that. And I was like, boy, is he going to, how's this going to go? And boy, when the lights went on, he was there. And it wasn't over the top. It was real. It was authentic. It was believable. It was funny. It was fear. It was scary. It was compelling. I mean, it really was. It was really something to watch. And he was very emotional at the end. Got a standing ovation, and he was very appreciative, very emotional. So, guy's a pro, man. I mean, he is really good.
Well, and I read an interview with Casey Sherman when he said he'd love to not only do it more, but maybe take it to Broadway if possible someday.
Well, Casey is a big thinker, and that's because I knew Casey when he was just a regular Joe, like the rest of us, and we were at Channel 4, and he was the 5 o'clock producer, and I was doing sports. And generally, Casey would say to me, hey, we got to cut a minute for weather. that's an inside joke. The weather people always took minutes from sports.
Yes,
people, for people
yes.
So anyways, so, you know, Casey thinks big. I mean, he just thinks big. And I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, that guy, I'll tell you right now, that guy has been amazing. I mean, he has just set out for some huge goals, and he's accomplished them. So when he says he wants to take something to Broadway, I would not put anything past him. What I always wondered, though, when I talked to Casey about this is, you know, what is the big moment in the play? I go, Casey, and, you know, Whitey went quietly, and then he was just murdered in his bed in prison.
Right.
So what's the big moment, you know? Well, McDonough does it, and as Dave Wedge said to me, you know, he says, we're hoping that, you know, Neil can be the Irish James Gandolfini, because they're trying to, you know, they're talking to television studios and, you know, the Hulus and the Netflix and all that stuff. And after we saw Neil do it, and the push and pull with the family, the dealing with the police, the people who support Whitey, the people who oppose Whitey, which Whitey is it? There's so many stories surrounding him. Was he really just a Robin Hood from the neighborhood, or was he really a monster? All of those things work well, where I think now that there is a story to tell for streaming or television. I would think it would have to be streaming. I mean, you don't want to do this thing. I mean, regular TV, you would just have to tame it down way too much.
Right.
You know?
Now, were you, what part were you playing, or were you doing the narration?
Well, I did the narration. And then when Casey did this a year ago, he said to me, you know, we all volunteered initially. We all did it for free. And, yeah, I'm sure Neil did it for free. And I said, I just don't want to play a newscaster. I go, okay, so you got to give me something different. I mean, even if I fail, you got to let me do something different. And he did. And I am what originated as a stoned apartment manager in Whitey's building. That's what it originated as. Now, I have certainly imbibed in the devil's brew, but I've never been high. Never. I've never been high. And I've been drunk, but I've never been high. And I couldn't find it. Like, I didn't know how to do it. And then I just kind of made it my own. So he was more annoying. And we just had fun with it. And it was just so much fun, you know, where the FBI agent comes to the door, you know, and I said something like, man, it's my day off. I can't be bothered now. And they're trying to get Whitey. You know, and I think this actually happened. A lot of this stuff is true. Or they went, you know, hey, listen, we got a bus down. Yeah, man, dude, can you come back tomorrow? You know, I'm off today. This doesn't really work for me. The FBI guy said, yeah, it's going to work for you, you know? so it was that sort of thing. And I got to do a great thing with Arthur Hugh, who played the FBI guy. So it's just fun. I mean, you know, community theater is a blast. You know, so many great actors. And it was a lot of fun. And Casey, to his credit, says he's going to try to keep the cast together if they can get it to Broadway. Broadway, I mean, listen, if he can go to Broadway, that's awesome. I think it has a chance for streaming. I don't know about Broadway. Like, to me, like, if you saw it, Rich, you would go, okay, I can get into 10 episodes of this. Or 8 episodes.
Yeah. You know? And there's such a need for content out there with all these streaming services.
There is. Because, I mean, if you notice, like, the great streaming things, it's really humanity, right? I mean, you can have you shoot them up and you bang them up. That's fine. But it's really about the humanity of it. And was Whitey a good guy or not? I mean, there were still people in the crowd when Neil, you know, he ad-libbed a middle finger to Patty, the FBI agent. And when he gave him the middle finger, you know, half the crowd cheered. You know, it's like, and, you know, Whitey's resume is well depicted. I mean, it's a scary dude, but people still cheer for him. You know, it's that, I don't know what it is. It's like some people still love the mob mentality, you know, the anti-authority thing.
Absolutely.
So I think it's got a real, shot for streaming myself. I don't know.
Well, that'd be great. We sure hope so. What are you watching? Anything good lately that you've been watching, either movies or television?
Yeah, well, you know, Ted Lasso, I got to get caught up that, which that has been very interesting, to say the least. I think it picked up. The Diplomat is fantastic.
Yes, it is. I agree.
It is fantastic. Mm. Whoa. And then I got, Perry Mason, I thought was great. I thought Perry Mason was better this year than last year.
Yeah, I haven't watched the new season yet, and I haven't started the new season of Ted Lasso. No, I heard conflicting reports early on, but I heard it's gotten a little better toward the end.
Well, you got to finish it, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I don't know if they're coming back for season four or not, but you got to. I mean, you got to finish it. The part, and I told some of the people I know that work on it. You know, there's a part where they bring in this superstar, and it was a little over the top, and I just didn't think they needed them. I thought the great thing about Ted Lasso, and I know that this was Sudeikis' mission, he gave such room for the other characters to develop that they brought in this guy that was supposed to be like this kind of Beckham, esoteric, weird kind of superstar soccer player. That it took away from all the other characters. I mean, there's still so much to do with everybody in the room, all of them. And I thought that took away from it. That kind of irritated me a little bit.
Interesting.
Of course, I told one of the co-producers about that. And he said, "Yeah, I'll pass it on." I said,
"Okay." have you seen White House Plumbers at all?
No, it's next on my list, though. I heard it's fantastic. And the thing that I read about that is, from what I understand. It was G. Gordon Liddy, and who was the other guy?
E. Howard Hunt.
That they were both kind of buffoons.
Oh, yeah, and I'll tell you what. Woody Harrelson and Justin Theroux, man, they are chewing the scenery on this, but it's great.
Yeah, like, I was reading that. It was like, these guys wanted to be on the inside, and they would do anything, you know, to get in with the group, and they were just kind of boneheads.
It was, but Jimmy Breslin called them the gang that couldn't shoot straight.
Right, that's exactly right, which for an actor, I mean, these guys must be chewing it up.
Oh, it's great. It's a terrific cast. We had Rich Sommer on from Mad Men. He plays Nixon aide Eagle Crow, and it's a whole roster of terrific talents.
Yeah, did you see Air, by the way?
I have not seen it, but I know you loved it.
I liked it.
Okay, liked it.
I liked it. The problem that this thing has is everybody's going to compare it to Good Will Hunt.
Right.
And forget it. I mean, forget it.
Oh, know? No, Finn. Yeah. Finn loved it. You liked it.
Yeah, well, you know Finn. He's a little... No, I'm kidding. I mean, you know, easy to please. I liked it. You know, because the problem now is that you see so much content. You see so many great things like The Diplomat where you're on your edge. Like, how about in The Diplomat? When the husband turns to her at the end, I think, of the third episode and says, "Hey, you're going to be blankety blank." She's like, "What? How do you know that?" Right? I mean, you know, like, what's this guy doing? The streaming is so compelling that, you know what happens in this movie, right?
I mean,
you know what happens. And that's the kind of tough part.
Right.
So, but, you know, I thought it was fun. I thought it was, I thought the way that they handled revealing the sneaker was great. I thought Bateman's character could have arced a little bit more, but, you know, like, I mean, he really quick, all of a sudden, he turned around, but it's been a fun movie.
Now, you must have dealt with Damon and or Affleck through the years.
Well, yeah, I mean, Affleck cast me in Gone Baby Gone.
Well, that's right, yeah, but they cut your part, right, man?
Cut my part. I always wanted, did I try to kiss his ass too much? What did I say?
I saw you in the extras on the DVD.
Oh, yeah, deleted scenes. So Affleck's great. I mean, he's great on set. He's, you know, he's just, they're all great. I mean, not like I've been in Hollywood all my life, but I've been on a lot of movie sets. I have yet to run into a jackass that it's a director. I really haven't. And Affleck's great. Everybody's relaxed. The key to those guys is they got great crews, right?
Mm.
So they can be friendly to everybody, and they can go out and say, do this and do that. Yeah, you know, but the AD's awesome. You know, the sound guys are awesome. He doesn't have to worry about all those guys. He can just go out and make everybody comfortable.
Yeah, that's,
and he was great.
That's a big part of the job.
Fantastic.
He
was. And then Damon, I interviewed Damon once at Fenway, but I mean, it's not like you would remember me.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. Come on, Gary.
No. Trust me.
All right, I got to ask you a sports question. Celtics, do they stay alive for one more night?
I don't think so. I don't know if they have it in them. You know, I think Miami. I got a feeling this is going to be it, which is just so damn sad. You know, I mean, what a joke. I mean, these guys just quit. I don't think they do. I think Butler's going to come in and pull a, you know. Yeah, that's what I think. But, who knows? I didn't think they would be this bad.
No.
Even if they do come back, they're just so damn hard to root for now.
Well, yes, I agree with that. That's what I said. I'm not, they have not pulled me in. I can't. After the Bruins and the way this has gone, nope, I need a little something. But all they'll do, if they win tonight, they just set me up for more disappointment down the road.
Well, yeah. I mean, so what if they win tonight and then it goes six games? Or if they manage to push it to a seven game? Then all of a sudden do we say, well, you know, it wasn't as bad. No, it was bad. They quit. And that'll be even worse. If they force a seventh game after they quit.
Oh, yeah.
Then you go, Jesus, what could you, you know. And the poor coach, that was, Brad Stevens has made good moves, but that was a bad move. That kid's just not. I just hear they don't listen to him. They don't listen to a word he says.
No, but they don't listen.
Most NBA.
They don't listen to most coaches. So what do you do, though? Do you make wholesale changes, or do you chalk this up as a learning experience?
No, I'm done with this team, but I'm very impatient. I would figure out what the hell's going on with Jaylen Brown. I don't think he's going to get the double max that he wants. I would see if there's anybody interested, because he and Tatum just obviously can't succeed at the same time. The record's off the charts when they both score over 30 or score over 20 and they're both involved, but they don't want to play that game. They want to just play isolation and see if you can get the best shoe contract. I would trade Marcus in a heartbeat. Marcus doesn't help us. He hurts us more than he helps us, in my opinion. I think, you know, I heard, what was the story I heard? Jalen said, who did they play? God, my memories. Who did they play before the Heat? Philly. Jalen said to Missoula, he said, listen, let me take Harden. And Harden said, no, you know what? You better ask Marcus for permission. Talk to him first.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? What? You know, so Marcus just has an overinflated opinion of himself. On a true championship team, he's a terrific sixth man. When he looks to dish the ball and facilitate, he's great. But you don't want him taking threes at the end of the game. You don't want him being your first option. And I just think he just can't. You can't run the team the way you want it with Marcus there, even though he does do some good things. He's not a star. He's not a pillar. I think he'd win the Sixth Man of the Year award every year if that was his role.
It's Gary Tangway with us here on Downtown. Gary, thanks as always, my friend. Appreciate it. Hope the birthday celebration is a good one for you.
Yeah, we're rolling. we're rolling right along, Rich. I don't know. Big night out. Maybe I'll get some, maybe I'll go get some fish tacos. Who knows? That'll be the big night.
Nice. Well, I hope it goes well, because this isn't the big one. That one's coming next year, right?
No, it's not. Well, listen, the big one was 50 to me. After 50, then you just don't care.
That's true.
You know, I'm just like, everybody can go screw. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's very freeing, isn't it?
Oh, it's very freeing. You know, who's the grumpy old man? I am.
Me, right here. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. All right, boss, I'll look for the shirt.
You got it, but we'll be in touch.
Tattoo, shirt, a tattoo, or whatever.
Oh, yeah, more. You got a tattoo. Stuff is coming.
I do, thanks.
All right, see you, Gary. Gary Tangway in Downtown.